we're going to uplift ourselves because the lady of upliftment. Oh, hang on, another one. Part of the problem is that the UK is not going to allow extradition to a prison system that was theirs. Oh, Shabir was 5-star. To a prison system was then theirs. Shabir was 5-star.
I imagine worse than theirs.
Shabir was 5-star. Hi, Bev, how are you?
I'm very good.
Listen,
how
I want to
you?
Tell you that after you spoke so passionately about the royal wedding last week, you changed quite a few people's minds. I just want you to know that.
Really? Yes. I'm a mind changer.
You're a mind changer.
That's me.
Funny that.
The mind changer.
The mind changer.
Was that you, Mr. T? Did you watch it? Did you watch the royal wedding?
Yeah, that 5 minutes, and but not only me, Nix.
No, no, there were a few who were they quoted you.
Oh wow, really?
Yes. See.
Mind changer.
So Bev is in the studio. Quickly start SMSing your birth dates. We've already got quite a few. If you want to call through, you can 0861 24 24 36, or otherwise SMS us on 37420. So let's get started. Bev, you well?
I am fantastically well,
gratefully. You look great.
Thank you so
Love
much.
The hair.
Thank you.
You look sexy, man.
I don't know if that was the goal, but if it works, it's great.
I don't know if you know how gorgeous Bev Malone is, but anyway, let's keep it serious, shall we?
Let's try.
12th of March, 1955.
Lorraine.
This is Lorraine.
Okay, fantastic. Let's look at Lorraine. And what we're looking at here is a lady with a lot of very strong opinions, a very nurturing being, actually, mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. a close relationship, very affectionate when she feels safe. When she doesn't feel safe, I think she can be quite removed and almost unaffectionate, which is a pity because then we have that paradox there the whole time.
Yeah.
Is I can be this and probably wants to be very recognized for the way she thinks and the way she feels and the way she wants to direct things. But that also comes from a measure of insecurity and that desperate need to feel safe and secure. But when she does feel safe and secure, she's so wonderfully generous of spirit and nurturing and affectionate and present. When she gets hurt, she tends to remove herself and set up boundaries and barriers around her to protect herself. And that's not ideal. And then can even become insensitive to other people's needs, which is
such
a pity.
It's such a normal reaction though, Bev.
It is.
When we're hurt to withdraw. Because when you withdraw, it's not sore.
I understand. When you attack, it's not sore. Mm. I've said this a number of times. There are only three ways I know that people can respond in a way that does not serve them. And only one way they can respond in a way that does serve them. And if you respond aggressively or passive aggressively by being emotionally manipulative or passively by withdrawing, then you're responding in ways that do not ultimately serve you. Because even if you're aggressive, nothing gives you the right, no matter how hurt, disappointed, frustrated, betrayed, abandoned, or whatever you are, to be cruel to another human being. Nothing. Mm. I just mentored somebody last night who's going through something like this. She has a man in her work environment who's not her boss, who's so aggressive and constantly with everybody, screaming and shouting about everything. And yesterday threw a stapler at her.
A stapler.
I mean, he's so lucky he missed her.
He's got anger issues.
He's got issues.
Issues.
But the bottom line is that this is a man who does not know how to deal with his emotional frustrations.
Mm.
Now, that I don't care what his position is. I don't even care if he was her boss. He does not have permission or the right, and certainly not according to our constitution. We have one of the best human rights constitutions on planet Earth. I don't know if you've read it.
I haven't read it, but I know that we do.
Outstanding. And our human rights for children, it's absolutely unbelievable. So constitutionally, without question, people do not have permission to downplay anybody else's significance. No question. But as a human relationship environment, and as in the dynamic of the play between people, when you withdraw, you cut off your own blood supply to feeling powerful. When you get angry, you cut off your own blood supply to feeling powerful. People, after they're angry, do not feel good inside.
Mm.
They feel broken. Because why? They don't realize that when I withdraw, I manipulate, or I'm aggressive, I actually am coming from a place of insecurity and an inability to articulate what it is I need in the moment. I don't have the strength of character or the strength of being or the skill yet to do so in a way that serves me. And I'm actually feeling disempowered. So when it comes to the end of that interaction, do I feel strong? I might feel like I've bashed my chest for a bit, but when that fades, I actually feel, and I'll tell you what that feeling is. It's, I'm not strong inside. That's what the feeling is.
Mm.
I do not have the resources.
Regret.
Not regret.
No?
I'm not sure it's regret. It's the regret that I had to deal with it that way. Yes, I'd agree with you. But it's really the feeling of, I'm not strong inside. That's what the feeling is, whether people can label it or not. They're not strong inside if they have to withdraw. You're strong inside when you can sit in the middle of your pain and say, that was hurtful for me. I am so disappointed that happened. I'd much prefer that we don't interact that way. Please don't speak to me like that. Now you're strong. Do not be confused that you're strong if you don't do it that way. There's no two ways about it. So what I'd say to Lorraine is, who's a super organizer, an incredibly world-focused nurturer, there is a big energy about Lorraine. What I would say to her without question is, if you're not articulating your needs, and if you're not talking about your disappointments and hurts when they happen, or very soon afterwards, without all the drama that comes along with disappointment or frustration, you are not serving yourself and you will not reach your highest potential. And there's an awesome potential here. There's no question. Awesome potential. But you will have to do some work to reach it. We all have to do some work to reach it. And in all my self-esteem mentorship and all my talks and all the facilitation and workshops I do, the thing I'm teaching all the time is, if you're not living in the truth of who you be, able to articulate what your needs are, you cannot have the highest potential of self. You cannot have the highest potential of your vocation. You cannot have the highest potential of your relationships, no matter who they're with. Partners, parents, children, friends, colleagues, it's not possible. Because if I cannot say to you, when we go off air, you know, Nikki, what you just said was disappointing for me, I'd much prefer we don't speak like that. Is that okay with you? Can we go forward that way? Then I run the risk of sitting here all the time hoping you don't do that thing again. Not that you do anything wrong, and that's why I could use you as an example,
but
Nikki.
It's so true.
It's true.
Makes such a sense.
I'm so glad.
It's taking those little steps. Lorraine,
exactly.
I really do hope that, you know, that means something to you and has given you a little bit of insight along the way and along your journey. We're going to take a quick break. Afterwards, Gabby wanted to know about her son on the 22nd of April, 1999. Gabby, stay tuned. Bev will be profiling your son.
Maybe you'll find me worth listening to.
FM. It is 60 minutes to 10 o'clock and Nikki Seberini here. Good morning. It is a fabulous Friday. Very happy to be with you and we have Bev Malun in the studio. So we have Gabby who sent through her son's birth date. And are you ready with that, Bev?
I am indeed.
Great.
So let's look at Gabby's son, who was born on the 22nd of April, 1999.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Gabby's son has a very unique way about him. He's different. That's the bottom line. And she's going to have to.
He okay.
is as unique as we all are. He's more unique. Can there be such a thing as more unique? Perhaps.
Okay.
But he is going to have a very specific way he wants things done. He has very strong opinions. He is an intelligent boy, analyzing the whole time. He analyzes and analyzes. He's solid in his relationships and where he feels committed. He is solid in the things that the people he believes in. But make no mistake, he has opinions about them. He has opinions about everything. And he battles having unrealistic expectations because he has such strong opinions about how things should be. So one would obviously often be disappointed that things don't happen.
And
that
also
way.
Must be difficult with people around him then.
Yes,
yes.
It could be. Yes,
you know,
so he's just turned 12, is that right?
If he is outspoken and they're friends and, well, 90, was it 1999?
Yeah, he's going to have to learn how to communicate with people in a way that doesn't destroy them because he's got such a strong sense about what is truth that when you feel that, like he'd make a great judge one day, you know, he'll make a great mediator. He'll make a fantastic judicial body type person, like fantastic, because he's just got a very specific sense of what integrity is and what wholeness is and how things should be. And so if he applies that to a law system or to a discipline of any kind, then it would be very challenging to try and change his mind, which in an activist of any kind is very important. The catch is that he has amazing intuitions, which he reasons away. That's one of his paradoxes. He will have to learn how to work with that. He has intuitions about people that he is so used to analyzing that if it doesn't come from an analytical point of view, he may not trust it. But he's going to learn in hindsight that he should have. he should have trusted it.
And you never want to lose that.
Of course you don't
want to
lose it.
Through the analyzing of it.
But you want to use it as well.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to have to learn self-discipline, self-mastery. This is very important for this particular kind of profile because this is a person who is going to be so focused on what his wants are, he may not focus on what his need is. Does that make sense?
Mm.
So the need to learn how to master self and to feed the right things into your body, into your mind, the exercise, etc., that will be part of what he'll need to focus on to get into his own story and stay out of drama. And it's very important that when you're in an interaction, you check very quickly where the drama is sitting. Because there's no space for drama other than when you pay and then red curtains open and then you watch something. Mm-hmm. There's drama. It's lovely. You flick on television and there's stuff on. You buy a DVD or a Blu-ray or what's coming after Blu-ray? It's like a
curse,
you know?
I'm scared.
Yeah,
I'm terrified.
I'm like, can we just not buy Blu-ray? If we all don't buy Blu-ray, maybe we can just stick with DVDs.
Away.
Exactly. Ignore it. Blu-ray will pass. So we turn on a television or a DVD or something, right? And then there's drama. Fantastic. You know, WWE. Lovely. There's drama.
Mm.
You know, if you like that kind of story, you can get into the drama. Fantastic. If you, in your human interaction, there is drama, ask very quickly which side it's on. Is this drama coming from the person opposite me or is it coming from me? If it's coming from the person opposite me, this is not my stuff. I do not have to buy into this, give permission to it, or play a role in it. I didn't buy the part at an audition. I don't have to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell that person right off the bat, when you're ready to talk to me, not at me, or scream at me, when you're ready to talk with me, then let me know and we can resolve this. Up and until that point, I don't give you permission to treat me like this or speak to me like this. Or draw me into this drama. Forget it. If the drama is not your own and it's on the other side, you do not have to give it permission, whether it's your boss or not. One of the biggest reasons people are abused in relationships is because the first time that happens, they keep quiet. And that gives permission. That gives permission. So the person thinks, okay, well, I can speak to this person in that way. They didn't say anything about it. I've got permission.
There's the dynamic is formed very
That's
quickly.
That's right. The dynamic's formed. The track in the muscle memory, the intellectual memory, it's formed. If you then try it again, you expect to get away with it because you had permission to do it. No one stopped you.
Mm.
So to stop people from doing things they've been doing for a long time, you have to say something along the lines of, I don't give you permission. You can fully expect the response to be, I don't need your permission. Who do you think you are? I'll take my permission wherever it comes from.
Mm.
You're such an idiot. You deserve to be treated like that. And then it's your role to say, no, you do need my permission. Because I will no longer converse with you like this, and I do not give you permission to talk to me like that. When you're ready to talk with me, please let me know. Because even if I've made an error, I will apologize, I'll do my best, but that does not give you permission to speak to me like that. And if the drama is on your own side, stop it. That is the nicest way I can put it. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not serving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're living without self-esteem and you're creating flamboyance to try and deal with something because you don't have what it takes to just stand in the moment and articulate your preference.
Mm-hmm.
If drama's on your side, stop it. You want to get onto a stage, you go for it. We'll come see you. You want to live with drama, then don't be surprised that your life doesn't flow. Don't be surprised that things constantly happen that are so hard. Don't be surprised by all of that stuff because you're creating it in your life. You want to live with a life that flows and that hits bumps and conflicts and whatever, but flows over them, gets through them, then you need to cut the drama.
Mm.
It's no nice way about it.
Okay.
You're living with drama, you're either giving it permission or you are scripting it.
So how is that connected with Gabby's son on the 22nd of April 1999?
So if we want to connect it to Gabby's son, we can say that if he does not learn to articulate his need, trust his intuition and get into his own story and live it authentically, he is going to live from one story to the next that does not serve him.
Mm-hmm.
He will believe things that are not necessarily true and he will live that script and it will not serve him.
Very important.
When we have high expectations, high ideals, and a very specific idea of how the world should be, that's our script for the world. When it doesn't live up to that, it can be so disappointing and hurtful that it can cripple us emotionally or intellectually or in courage. And so we stop trying and we stop doing and etc. We have to learn that the world is whole, even if it has chips in it. It can still function.
Mm.
You know, they don't. You don't have a bumper bashing and they take the car off the road. Integrity means wholeness. It doesn't mean that there's only one truth. It means there's a wholeness about people. And my son told me the most beautiful thing the other day. He said that one of his friends, who has disappointed him a lot as far as arrangements goes and that kind of thing, is still very, very special to him, because even though, and this is what he said to me, you know, even though this friend can be very disappointing when it comes to arrangements broken and etc., he's such a special friend at school that often when boys will be ganging up and be nasty and whatever, he will stand up for him every time. Not sometimes, not occasionally, every time. He says, and that's also special about him, hey? Mm. And I said to him, you know what, my boy, most people will live their whole life without the ability to look at a person and see them in their integrity, their wholeness. There's a part of this boy that's disappointing, and there's a part of this boy that's not disappointing. And when we can look at our relationships and not see them as all good or all bad, and can take from them what is valuable,
black or white,
and protect yourself from that which is not, you can live with self-esteem. You can live in the world in a way that you're preserved. There can be nothing more important than living in a way in which you preserve yourself.
Gabby, hope that had meaning for you. I'm sure it must have. We are going to take a quick break. And the 11th of October, 1965, who wants to know more about a career path? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
101.9 megahertz of power.
You know, last week during this half hour with Bev profiled the royal family. And it was so interesting, not the royal family, the royal couple, the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge.
Indeed.
They were at the time Prince William and Kate Middleton.
Yes, they were.
That then.
Kate the Commoner.
A week ago. And you profiled them. And, you know, after you profiled them, when I watched them together, I looked at them through different eyes. And by the way, if you want to hear Bev's show, what Bev said on the show, go to our website, www.chaifm.com. You need to click audio, then click In Your Element, and you can hear the profiling of the royal couple. And it was very, very special. So once again, go to www.chaifm.com, click audio, then click In Your Element, and go ahead, listen, give us feedback, tell us what you think. Okay, so the 11th of October, 1965, that's 11/10/1965, that is the birth date, and this person wants to know career, which kind of career, or
okay,
in the
we
career
can look at
direction.
That.
Okay.
Actually got emailed by a very close friend of mine after that show, a whole list of royal birthdays of that particular family. And if we ever want to like dip into for the royalists
lovely.
Out there, we can do so.
Oh, that'll be
the
so much fun.
The Queen was fascinating. I won't lie. Fascinating
woman.
We do
the Queen next week.
Oh, she's
delicious.
Unbelievable. She's an unbelievable woman. It just shows so clearly how she was able to
handle
the role she was given in life at such a young age.
Really, Bev?
Unbelievable.
It's there.
Unbelievable. The fortitude. Unbelievable. Well, it's totally believable. It's just amazing.
It is.
It's there.
It's in the
it's
numbers.
There. And I imagine, I loved watching them on the balcony.
I know.
I loved it. The Queen was done.
All right.
Everyone else is loving it, but the Queen's done. So we'll just follow the yellow sunshine. Follow the ray of sunshine. She's exquisite. I absolutely love the Queen's energy. My brother pointed out to me in absolute mocking tones that it's not that there's just a very small portion of royal families left. There's 44 monarchies on planet Earth currently.
But they don't have the power of the
none
British
of them
royal
really
family.
Do, but and they don't really. Perhaps in their own homes, some of them. But that's 25% of the world's countries. So that's hardly very few monarchies.
Yes.
Oops. So I'm happy to take that
Would
back.
He was listening.
He wasn't listening. I questioned him afterwards because he lives in London. Are you watching? Are you watching? And he said, and he joked. He said, who? We had a debate, but he did watch it. Of course he watched it. And who didn't?
Come on, everyone looked.
Even Tarbo,
as I said,
thank goodness.
Said,
we redeemed
gorgeous.
You, Tarbo.
What did you say, gorgeous or hot? Gorgeous.
No, she looked gorgeous.
He commented on how beautiful she looked. He did, hey?
But she did look beautiful.
Yeah,
apparently did her own makeup and told the hairdresser that she had to look recognizable to William when she got down the 3.5 minute walk. Just make sure he can recognize her.
It's me, darling.
Even not. She would have been the one in the big white dress.
There was a person who reads lips.
Of course, there always
we got
is.
All of that. Anyway, carry on, carry on.
Yes, moving
11th
on,
of the 10th, moving 1965.
Moving on to the 11th of the 10th, 1965.
We do get distracted, don't we?
Yeah. Okay, so the 11th of the 10th, 1965, we have a deeply sensitive person here who really wants to flow in the world and has a very specific way. Very specific way. Is this a woman? I don't know. This might be a woman, but let's just talk about her as her because that just makes it easier for me.
Mm-hmm.
And not being an oracle, I wouldn't know if it's
no.
actually a woman or not.
Pity that.
No. But you would. Is
yeah,
it
of
a
course.
Woman?
I think it's a woman.
Okay, well, let's go with woman. And we can see that this is somebody who wants to be significant, wants to create a following, wants to do something big, right?
Mm-hmm.
And is sensitive and rigid. Now, in certain
okay.
ways.
So wants
now,
to achieve a lot.
But you can't do that if you're sensitive and inflexible. It's just not possible and not great at finishing things because you fear rejection or judgment, which is some of the paradoxes here.
Mm.
So great potential, great differential here. There's a person who would do something different, who would be wanting to be seen as unique and different and almost esoteric in certain ways, right? So we have that here, but we have this deep sensitivity. So the question is, have you overcome your fear of not being stable, of not being secure, of not being guaranteed or welcoming in whatever you're doing? It could be opening a pottery store. It doesn't matter. We're not necessarily talking about global effects. We're talking about anything. Can you do it without being sensitive, without feeling judged? Can you finish the things you start, whether the people will like them or agree with them or not? Can you change direction when it doesn't seem like it's working? I'm not too certain which career. I'd have to do a proper profiling and mentorship session with this person to really explore where their entire set of strengths, experience, and focus is.
Mm.
But what I would say, and this is what I say to most people who I do career profiling with and mentorship, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Sit with a piece of paper quietly with a cup of tea or a glass of scotch or whatever is your preference. Put something on that you like to listen to and just sit with a piece of paper and then start writing things you would be willing to be paid to do. Just start writing things. Dig ditches in the garden might not come up, but you know, it would for me. Funny enough, I think they'd be so cathartic. Switch your mind off, do something, you know, fairly mindless. Just mindless. There are things that I'd be willing to do.
It's called gardening.
Beth. Is that what they call
it's
it?
It's called gardening. Digging
oh my goodness.
Ditches.
We have
come
a garden
to my
service.
House. My husband will love it.
Know
just
from
put
there.
The seeds on.
I wouldn't know from there. We have a garden service. Is that what they do?
It's called gardening.
Gardening. Okay, excellent. So, but, you know, there are people who dig ditches and gardens. We had those people. They were the pipe fixers. Sit with a piece of paper, quietly writing. Start with anything. What would I be willing to be paid to do? What do I wish someone would pay me to do? What do I wish? And you'll get to the things that you love. You'll get to what the dreams are. You'll get to what the passion is. You'll get closer to it. And then see what things you can apply in a career that you can actually apply yourself to. I remember hearing a great man's opinion from years ago. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually attend his talk, but a friend of mine had attended his talk and mentioned it to me recently. That he said, and this was in 1997, I think it was, said that people are going to live so long and people are going to have so much more to their retirement than 5 or 10 years if they retire at 65, where it used to be 30 years ago, you know, you died at 75, 80. That was a good innings, right?
Mm.
And today, like those people, honestly, I'm sorry, but I can't look at them and see old.
Mm.
I look at 95, 100, I'm thinking, oh, this is old. But I meet people often who are 80, 85, and they are doing
still vibrant
and
doing
and
wonderful
living,
things
and many of them still working
fully
and
in
what
their
he
life.
Said was look for something new you can do at 65, retire from your profession and start a new career.
I love that.
You're
going to
have
that.
Another 30 years anyway. 30 years is a career. Do something. Don't just sit around. Unless you have so much to do sitting around, do something. Get your mind stimulated. Do something different. But the ways to figure out what to do, I hope that'll have value. And as for the 4th of December 1950, do we even have a moment for the 4th of December?
Let's quickly do Raphael.
So this is somebody, Raphael, who wants to do everything on his terms, his way, the way he likes it, with no boundaries, in a very different kind of style.
Mm.
And Battle's getting into that story now. Isn't that interesting? So that's the paradox. This is someone who wants it my way. This is how it has to be. Unrealistically demanding of others, of the world, of how things should be. One can't believe that things just can't be like X or like Y. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean? I want it to be like that. Gets frustrated, gets into story, into drama, etc. So, and yet, has this huge desire to be that way, but is deeply sensitive and needs a lot of affirmation and needs to be recognized, and therefore will very likely keep himself back from doing the amazing stuff he's capable of. And this is a very specific kind of deep thinking mind.
Mm.
So I hope, Rafael, that you rise above that. I hope you are willing to do the work. You know, someone said to me recently, I never dreamt, you know, they did a profile with me on radio, and because I get the SMS numbers, or people can contact me on my website or through Chai FM, and then I can profile them or mentor them or whatever, and that's part of what I do, sat with me, and her friend said, you should get together, you know, like try and get an appointment. So I was profiling and mentoring her, and she said, I thought like the only thing you do with the 3-4-5 minute slots on people on air. I didn't dream there was anything more to know. But I mean, gee, of course, there is a fortune more.
Fortune.
And I'm literally
just touching.
It's not even on one foot. On one toe, I'm looking at certain aspects that pop out.
Mm.
But there's so many deep paradoxes and so many deep aspects of a human being to look at. And I don't want anyone to think this is numeric profiling on one foot and that's the extent of it. This is a tool I use in self-esteem mentorship to help people to find and make peace with who they are, make friends with that person, and live their truth their whole lives. Live their truth with exceptional authenticity and integrity. And if they're not doing that, they're not feeling full. And this is where addictions come from, and problem relationships and divorces where there doesn't need to be. In a lot of places, there's divorces, and it really needs to be there. But for many couples, if they would just be willing to work and talk about their needs, the relationships could sustain themselves.
Mm. And nothing, I always say, nothing more powerful than this present moment. What happened yesterday, it's over. You have power over now. Making the changes now.
Absolutely.
No regret.
Absolutely.
No regret.
I'm going to be doing a talk in the next
two weeks. Yes.
Just around election time, actually, that people are invited to attend. There will be a fee for it, but they can look on my website or on the Chai FM Facebook page, or contact Chai FM for my details if they want to attend it.
What is your website address again? We always ask you.
Well, the easiest one to do is kbc.co.za, because no one can spell Malun out there.
KBC.
Yeah, KBC, Knowledge Brings Change. Okay. .co.za. Right. That's the easiest one, and it feeds straight into BevMalun.com.
Okay. Wonderful, Bev. Thank you so much. It's
pleasure.
Been a marvelous morning, and we've got to do profiling of queens and kings.
Shall we
please
start off with the royal lady?
Lovely.
Next week.
Let's do
excellent
that.
Looking we'll do that.
Forward.
Bring it.
Have a wonderful weekend.
And you too.
Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you.
See you next Friday.
Great.
Mwah.
Take care.
That
Bye.
Is Bev Malun, who's here on the radio every Friday between 9:30 and 10 o'clock doing profiling. For those that she profiled, I really hope that there was a lot of meaning, insight, and understanding.